and I decided to do it through something very light for you. Do is like more of an overview of what we've been doing here, since a lot of people don't even know what we've been doing in crypto. So I decided to go very briefly over some of the things we've been doing and not get into formulas. Although the presentation has a lot of formulas, if you want to take a look at the formulas, they're there. For the first part. For the second part, is a lighter part. So I'll stick more to the second part and just tell you briefly what we've been doing. Let me just speak briefly about what there's a small group there in Brazil doing cryptography. You probably know some of the names, Paulo Barreto, who has been very active doing pairings, sort of different things in pairings recently. Myself and Van de Graaf, if you probably know your own Van de Graaf, who work in quantum crypto with the crowd in Montreal, who's there because he got married to a Brazilian and moved down to Brazil. Julio Lopez, which is a co-author of mine, with a few papers with us. Jorge Nakahara, who's a former student of Bart Pinnell. And Roto Terada, who's senior to all of us there. And there are three or four universities, more or less in the same area in the south of Brazil. Here's more or less where we are. I didn't get a good... this is south of Brazil, and here's where UNICAP is, and this, I think if you, this is close to, this is São Paulo, the city of São Paulo, and Rio is over here, so it's just letting you know where I'm coming from. We've been doing different things, a little bit of everything. We're not really, perhaps Paulo Barreto is the most specialized, he's really been doing stuff in pairings for a while. We have worked in efficient implementations for a number of years, especially of ECC-related crypto. Van der Graaf likes quantum crypto. He's not very active right now, but he's coming back. And Jorge Nakahara likes symmetric algorithms. That is, we collaborate very much. Try to get together once in a while and do stuff together. Co-supervise students. So it's a good environment. We organize a yearly workshop on crypto algorithms and protocol, which became known as WCAP. Some of you have been there. I invite you to come again in August 2007. It's too close to crypto for comfort, but we try to get it a little bit further away. So we also collaborate. PKI, although it's a kind of a, you know, it's not very popular here in the States, more perhaps a little more in Europe, but in Brazil it's a very hot thing. You know, PKI is kind of a bit of a holy grail right now for Brazilians, because they think that with PKI, a lot of the things in the society that do not work are going to work with PKI. So, I mean, believe it or not, that's what the expectation is. So we are present in some of these groups, and anyway, we're doing different writing software, building an HSM, a small HSM to be used by the universities, and anyway, so we got to some hardware there too. So anyway, I'm not a hardware guy, so when I was invited to come, I really said, well, you know, I don't do much harder. We've been doing software basically and collaborating with some people, but so I'm gonna, you know, stuff I'm gonna talk borders a little bit on hardware, but it's not really. I'll speak very briefly about some of improvements for software multiplication in binary fields, but show you some timings, but not very conclusive, so I'm sorry, it's not very, things are really in progress. I just got what I could for this talk. You have the details on the slides, but and papers are upcoming. So, and then I'll talk a little bit about what we've been doing for pairings and wireless sensor networks and why they seem to be a good idea. So, as I said, I'm not going to go over these things. I'm just going to skip to the end of it. But you will find in these slides there's a large list there if you want to know a little bit about basic stuff. It is there, self-contained, so I'll just this kid to, well, there's this method, this CUM method, that's named after Lopez and myself. And as a, we've been, let me skip right to the, where this stuff is. You've seen all these formulas, these, what is it? What is it?
You're making good progress.
Good progress. So, you, as I said, you've seen this stuff. So let me just, okay, you will find a little bit of the, what's became known as Lopez de Hart method, and there are some improvements to it. There's the left to right version, where you look at operands from left to right, and then from right to left, there's, and then, and you see the explanation, and then the little piece of code there. And if you pre-compute, then there's also another variation that's all in books. Then, I mean, what we have done recently was just to, motivated by a contract we had with Intel to write, actually it wasn't with Intel, but people were building, Tom, who was building PDAs with the Xscale processor. So we had, we were writing a small library for them, the ACC, and so they wanted to, we wanted to experiment and see what we can do something a little faster with those processors. So instead of, anyway, you have this, instead of taking processing operands in groups of 4 bits, you can process them in parallel. That's what we found recently is you can process them, instead of taking them all in groups of 4, you can take shifts of size 8 and then save some of the money, save some of this, of the computation, and get to a parallel method, which I'm not going to go into the details. You can, we've written this in parallel here to emphasize the fact that you can do these two steps in parallel with the red and the blue bits. Some of these timings, as I said, are not very conclusive. I'm not really certain about these because I've just been passed these numbers recently, and I haven't been in touch with the people who've been running this, so I'm not sure what exactly they're going to, but there are comparisons of this with, in Pentium platforms, 32 bits with MMX instructions, 64 and 128, and comparisons with Pentium 4 with the hyper-threading, and then timings on the Xscale processor. And in all of them, there seems to be good improvement. Basically what's left here is a parallel method for the field multiplication that we have introduced, and there is gain in all of the experiments we've been doing, although we've been warned recently that perhaps our timings are not very good due to squarings, and I don't know exactly what to do about that, and so we're just looking at that. Perhaps the way we're measuring times and comparing squaring against multiplications is not very finely tuned. So I'll just reserve judgment about this at the moment. So we see that in the Pentium 4, the improved method is about 30% to 60% faster than the version in. It was just pure 32-bit version without MMX. On the Xscale processor, this is using wireless MMX, which is the version of MMX for wireless, what they call for the Xscale processor. That's they coined that term, wireless MMX. Is about is also faster than the 32-bit version, and the multiplication by a constant is about 50% faster than a full multiplication, given if you build first a large lookup table with about 256 finite field elements. So as I said, I mean, the details are in the talk, so I want to spend a little more time talking about something else with another student. This is a PhD student who had a good background in wireless sensor networks. He came to us with already a good background and having published a few papers, and instead of getting him into our work in efficient ECC, he wasn't very keen on that, so he said, well, let's try to get something that you'd like to do that would use your experience in one sensor network. So when we got there, he had already done quite a bit of work in protocols for sensor networks using symmetric algorithms. But let me just talk a little bit about these things. So just speak a little bit about sensor networks. And since nobody here, I expected to see some people talking about sensor networks here. And after 4 days, and I said, well, maybe sensor networks are out of favor, apparently, or maybe, you know, I don't really know why is it that, you know, people are more, you know, hardware people are not concerned with sensor. Maybe that's a gone wave. I mean, I don't know why. But anyway, I said, well, maybe it's a good opportunity. Let's talk a little bit about sensor networks. Why perhaps pairings are a good idea. A protocol for Keystone, there are many protocols, but I'm just going to show one just to. Some timing results for pairings, which, as far as I know, nobody has implemented pairings in wireless sensors. We've looked quite a bit, and perhaps if you know, maybe you could tell me, because we've been looking and seeing if there's any implementation of pairings at all. Perhaps asking some face some
hardware software.
Software. Well, okay. Okay, so maybe even hardware like to point at if you wanna.
Well, in RCS, since you can make scalable architectures.
Sorry?
Since you can make scalable architectures,
yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you take the,
right.
the core and put
right.
it on a sensor network.
But do you know anything already done, or just talking about the possibility of doing it?
Well, the core that DARPA presented a couple of days ago, collaborated that scale supports
pairing.
Right.
Well, I guess there's some. So these are networks of small sensor nodes, right? With very limited resources and one or more base stations, which basically collect data from sensors. So these are networks that, you know, do devices. They're used for monitoring, and they are usually disposable. So they're very cheap, and once you deploy them, you're left. Well, I mean, you don't retrieve them. They just stay there until the battery runs out. So batteries are something important. You have to worry about how you use your energy there. Transmission is something very costly. So they usually do some kind of data fusion to avoid the transmitting all the data. I mean, these networks are. I mean, these sensors, if they don't have a, you know, they have to communicate with their neighbor nodes, but, you know, until they can then send the information to the base station, which perhaps is not reachable from, in general, the base station is not reachable from all nodes. So they have to do a multi-hop transmission to the base, and that's a lot of energy that's used in these transmissions. They can be, I mean, they talk about planar networks or where all nodes are on the same role, or it can have hierarchical networks where they're clustered around cluster heads. And these cluster heads can be any of the regular sensors, and they kind of alternate in that role of cluster heads that collect information and pass forward to another cluster head, perhaps. They can be homogeneous in the sense that they all have the same hardware and same capabilities, or they can be heterogeneous networks that can, where you have more powerful nodes playing special role, they're more protected, or they have more resources in them. Security solutions are, of course, crucial in this environment because these are very fragile devices. They usually deployed in hostile environments, or perhaps in the middle of a forest, or in usually monitoring some dangerous events. So they're usually in hostile environments, but they're also very exposed. They're exposed there. I mean, they use wireless. They use wireless communication, so they're naturally exposed. Their resources are very restricted. So you can't really build a lot of security on it. You have to be careful about it. They don't have much physical protection. I mean, they're just there, sitting there somewhere. You can't really rely on any kind of bigger or shield or some kind of thing. And they're also prone to routing attacks as well as direct physical tampering. That is, in some attacks you can kind of, because of the particular way in which they communicate, they have to communicate with other nodes to be able to send their information to base stations. You can trick a node into thinking that he has a neighbor that is not the neighbor that he's thinking he has. And since you don't, since the network is only, say, formed after you deploy them, you don't know what the correct route is. This correct route has to be inferred from the network. So, energy concerns, as I said, then space considerations are much more relevant than speed in this environment. So we're more worried about, and the first things we're getting are not first results are not, have nothing to do with speed, actually very slow, but they seem to be adequate at this moment. The known solutions are the best known solutions for wireless sensor networks. They rely on symmetric key solutions. So then the protocols use some kind of distribution of keys, and then that's the way you establish secure channels or encrypted channels between nodes. Right? But the network, as I said, does not exist until the nodes are deployed, because you just throw them there and then they start communicating with each other, and then they know which ones they can reach, and then the network is formed, right? So the node has to find its neighboring nodes by just, say, probing, right? I mean, it has to broadcast its information, and the other nodes know it, and then this has to be done with as few as possible broadcasts. How do you distribute? There are several proposals for distributing these nodes. You can think of just having a global key, a global secret key to protect the whole network. I mean, that's tempting because you don't have to store too much information, but that's a very bad idea, because when you compromise one node, you compromise the whole network, right? And one thing that these solutions usually assume is that the base station is secure against physical attack, but not against impersonation. They can try to impersonate the base station, and they trick the nodes to think that they're talking to the base station. So a key distribution is a problem. I mean, you don't want to you don't want to store one key, the same key for all nodes, but you don't want to store all keys for all nodes, because that could take too much space. So you have to be careful how do you do that, and which keys you store, right? So there are many solutions that for example, Leap proposal, they or other ones there, they distribute keys randomly, and then they hope that by distributing them randomly among the nodes, that nodes after they're deployed, there's a subset of the nodes that the neighboring node also knows, so that they can choose those keys to be their common keys. So there are several solutions that go along that direction. This particular solution needs a predistributed key, and it has to assume that at least during the few seconds after deployment, that the network has to be secure, for example, which sometimes isn't a very realistic assumption, because during those few seconds, the nodes have to be, they cannot be, sometimes you can't assume it, right? You're just throwing it at some forest or something, you know that people aren't going to find them, or anyway, they're not going to be tampered with, and then they have some time to establish some secure channels. Sometimes it is realistic, sometimes it's not. And it seems that resource constraints prevent them from using RSA or DSA-based solutions, public key based on these relatively large key algorithms. So we were talking with Bert the other day, public key crypto there are a few questions that have to be answered, right? Is it desirable? Is it desirable? If it is, in what form? Is it possible? If possible, is it practical? There are a lot of things you look around and you see a lot of people working on it and publishing and proposals, several proposals. But is it this? First time the student wanted to work on this, and then I said, is this good? Do you know whether, you're coming from the sensor network community. Does the community feel that there's a need for these protocols, or it's something that, is just, it's an opportunity, and then it seems to be nice. These are small nodes, very small, very restricted nodes. Maybe we should, try to squeeze something in there. That's just for the sake of it. Is this the motivation, or is there a real need for this? It seems it's a good idea, but the right form of it, it would certainly make key distribution more simple, right? Much simpler, because but you have to be careful, right? How are you going to store all the public keys that are going to be necessary in the nodes before deploying them? That's the same problem you had before, which is worse now because the keys are larger. So you don't want to store all the keys, right? And then expect the nodes to negotiate session keys. And another thing is that even if you have the public keys in place, if you're not sure about them, you're going to use some kind of authentication. And there's also the revocation problem, too. Are you going to revocate? Revocating keys is something that, you think of revocation as something because of human action or something that's... it's hard to think that you're going to have something dynamic, a revocation procedure, a dynamic procedure in sensor networks. But there are many proposals that seem to think that these are, if you look at this paper, for example, it was in the is one of CACR's tech report. I don't know if you know this, but there are a lot of things about revocation there. You can look at there. And they really talk a lot about this mobile ad hoc networks. Although we don't have, in this case of sensor networks, they're not really mobile, right? I mean, once you deploy them, I mean, they're mobile when they're being, I mean, usually, that once they're in place, they don't move too much, right? I mean, they're more or less even. So, anyway, there are all these questions about public keys that are not well addressed, or they seem to be better addressed now, but, anyway, another sign that there is an interest in the community is that this guy from Harvard, David Mallon, he's not really a professor there, I think he's... Anyway, he has a pioneer implementation. A lot of people are using this, his implementation of elliptic curves over sensor networks, and everybody I talked to have been using some kind of a version of that. And anyway, and there's a lot of people talking about it, and there, so it seems that there's an interest, but I haven't really seen, I don't think, maybe it's not the time yet, but I haven't seen a paper where people really discuss the pros and cons and you know, just go in depth about the need, the real need for this. Anyway, meanwhile, we're working on this. Well, here's how anyway, let me go back. So it seems that something based on something that's based on identity-based crypto would be more suited for sensor networks, because you don't want to have the nodes to be able to compute private keys or compute public keys anyway. I mean, in some way that's is more independent, and with the base station perhaps being the trusted authority that's present in identity-based systems. But as you see in this protocol, the base station really doesn't play a role. Like, I mean, if the nodes are deployed, and then so you have A and B here are not they're not they're nodes, right? And they broadcast their identity and a nonce to something that's called the group of A, that is the neighborhood of A. So they just, whichever nodes are close enough to get this transmission, they're going to see that their node A is close by. And the node B too. So supposing that you have neighboring nodes here, M from GA and N from GB, they use their received keys, IDs, to generate public keys and distribute secret keys after they have receive these. So, I mean, here you have some kind of let me see how this moves this around. Okay, so node M would send to A. M is a node in the neighborhood of A, so he sends back to A his ID and signs a message that contains his ID, the ID of A, and the session key and the nonce, just for authentication purposes, and N does the same. So this would be a protocol, and this is just a step with the exchange of information afterwards, after these keys have been established. So, I mean, you don't have this base station business, but you need the parents to calculate these keys. So, we did some implementation. That's something that's going on there with something that Tiny Tate. I don't know if that's a good name. Everybody seems to have Tiny.
What was the point of sending the ID rather than sending public key?
Sorry.
Why are we under public key? What's the point of using a hand in this?
You could use the identity here, right? Is that what you're saying? For the encryption.
If you know someone's identity, that identity-based encryption makes sense. If they have to send you their identity, I don't see the point. They might as well send you the public key if you're interested. And also, when they're doing the signature, how do you know, when you verify, how do you know the public key?
You have to preload their secret. You have to preload their secret keys, right? You have to preload their secret keys.
So you have a PKI and you can verify signatures and see what's signature?
You preload private keys. Your preload private keys is these nodes. So you have to preload private keys, and that's done by, prior to deployment, right? And so let's see how this is. So let's see. The idea is to have. Why do we need to get you're objecting to the fact that I have to generate a public key from an ID, right?
No, I'm saying why use identity-based techniques? Just if you know someone's identity, it makes sense to use identity-based encryption. But if you don't know that they have to send you their identity, there's no point. They might as well just use
but what
public
if,
key if you're going to trust what they tell you.
What if you have...
You don't need pairings? You don't need
It's
easier to fake public key than fake ID, right?
Well, if the ID is just something they make up and tell you, then
it's meaningful, right? It's your name.
I know, but let's see. Have a discussion. What if this is tampered with, right, during transmission?
Well, what is the identity in this context?
Well, it's say,
if I'm the neighboring
it's
node,
just
and you're sending me your identity. What is it you're sending me? Something where I already know that there's somebody out there with that identity, or are you making it up and telling me? In which case, you could just send me a key.
There's some sense on that. Yeah. A certain set of value for the key. If you show yourself to be aware.
Okay, so in other words, you're not really having to send it. You know, I know it already. And then I'm signing something, I'm presumably signing something that's an identity-based signature, or is it a normal public key signature?
No, it's a signature based on an identity-based signature. That's an identity-based signature. But, I'll discuss this. Okay, let me just, but I want to clear that up, because I had this. This is what the student is doing at the moment, had one of these Mica Z nodes, which is a, mega controller with it's an 8-bit machine with a 7.38 megahertz processor 4K of RAM, 128K of flash memory running, TinyOS. And he did implemented the tape pairing over this curve with Q at 256 bit prime, embedding degree K equals 2. And these are the timings here he's getting at this moment, 30 seconds of for the pairing, which since you're going to use just once, it seems to be reasonable. There's some room left here. I mean, you have 4K RAM here, and this has the whole thing. I mean, the operating system, the elliptic curve, and the tiny tape pairing software. So that takes this plus 18K of the flash memory. So there is some room left there to build on protocols on top of that. Anyway, these are very preliminary. I mean, we don't even know. I mean, we have to work on optimizations and see how can we do this. Some more work that's probably closer to you is this work we did last year with some people come from another angle, the people working code compression, code optimization group, that compiling techniques and stuff like that. And then we worked on a custom instruction approach that is replacing a few, one or more instructions, or equipping the hardware with some carefully chosen instructions to speed up finite field arithmetic over binary fields and using Gaussian normal bases. And that's, you can find this in this. If you're interested, I can send you a copy, but you can find it in this conference, or this journal is still, it's not published, but it's been accepted for publication. Okay, so I mean, more or less, this is what I'd like to show you what I've been doing. But I'd like to go back with you perhaps to discuss that issue.
Okay, thank you very much.